Good morning. Okay. Yeah, there you go. You know how this routine works. So my name is William Looney. I'm a principal program manager at Microsoft in the Skype for Business team. And I'm excited today to talk to you about troubleshooting operations with Skype call quality management tools. So I'm going to start off the session with telling you the three things I want you to take away from today's meeting. So Skype for Business and Office 365 has the tools you need to proactively manage systemic and infrastructure call quality, as well as tools for troubleshooting individual call quality. So that's one. Second thing to take away is that the call quality dashboard is your primary tool for monitoring and proactively managing call quality in Skype for Business and Office 365. The third point, and this is very deep and technical, but we'll cover why this is so important, is this call quality dashboard relies on having this mapping of subnets to your buildings. And this is critical to make the dashboard useful for looking at network issues. While it may take a little bit of effort to get this data in, it makes the tool exponentially more powerful, and we'll walk through why and show some of that as we go through. So today, we're going to start off with an overview, talking about the tools that are available for call quality management. We'll talk about online and on-premise Skype for Business. We'll talk about the call quality dashboard, what it is, why you should use it, go through some of the technical, some of the details around how it works, some of the inside view that will help you get started using the tool, and then we'll spend a chunk of time working through demos. I plan to spend a lot of time on the call quality dashboard. Time permitting, I may show the call usage, call record lookup that Anton demoed in his IT Pro Tool session yesterday. Then we'll do Q&A, and then I'll wrap up with some extras at the end of the session. So before I start, who here knows about the call quality dashboard? Oh, excellent. You guys, I love you guys. How many people know of it and actually use it? Okay, yeah, that's about what I expect. Okay, so hopefully with today's information, those of you who haven't raised your hand, you'll know about the tool, you'll be encouraged to use it, and those who know about it and haven't used it, you'll gain some insights on how to use it and make it more part of your management of Skype for Business and Office 365. So when we think about the tools that are available for call quality management for Skype for Business, there's a set of tools that are available to manage Skype for Business in Office 365. And this is where the majority of today's session is going to be focused, very heavily focused on the call quality dashboard, because that's the tool that you have available today. We do also have tools for Skype for Business Server, and we'll walk through those as well. And then we have IT Pro Tool Partners. So these are partners we work with. You'll find them on the expo floor who offer rich sets of solutions for Skype for Business, both in Office 365 and on-premise, to help with the monitoring, troubleshooting, and help in those kind of scenarios. So there's a link here to the solutions catalog where you can find more details about there. And there'll be a useful link section as well in the back end of the deck. So the call quality dashboard. So for those of you who don't know what the tool is, so this tool provides detailed views for quality and reliability for kind of proactive quality management. It allows you to see trends. It allows you to monitor your system as it goes and identify issues before users raise complaints. It's based off of a methodology that was developed for, I think it was Office Communicator 2007, R2, Link 2010. I'd have to think back how far ago. But it's a methodology for how do you solve complex quality issues in a deployment. Call quality is challenging. There's network dimensions. There's device dimensions. And this dashboard kind of came out from all of those learnings and tried to be a visualization in the tools that you need to kind of implement that methodology. So the dashboard provides views that are focused on finding infrastructure issues, finding places in your network where the quality of the network is not meeting the targets and causing users to have bad experience. And it does this by giving you the ability to look at this aggregate data. So all the calls in a region, all the calls in a building, and then slice that data by meaningful pivots based off a location, based off of scenario, based off of the type of network conditions. And by doing this kind of analysis by comparison, you can gain insights into where the problem is. What do you need to do to kind of help address the problem? So the call quality dashboard is available for every tenant in Office 365. You can go to cqd.link.com and access it today. And we'll talk more about this dashboard in detail. That's kind of a quick overview. Next is the call usage and details. So this is the tool that Anton demoed yesterday in his session. And this is basically we're adding call usage and details into the Skype for Business admin portal. It's available for preview in early 2017 with a general availability in that first half. And what it does is it provides the ability to see and troubleshoot individual calls and conferences. So you can go and look up a user, you can go see his call history, you can go see that. And in addition to just not just seeing the data, we're adding predictive analytics that kind of help narrow down, okay, the user had a problem in this call, what were the likely causes? What can I do about it? And that's the tools that are, those are the predictive analytics that we're going to be adding to this tool that's in preview next year. The third tool available for online is the call detailed data lookup. So this is available today. It allows you the ability to go and look at quality, QoE, and CDR, or signaling data, about individual user calls. You can access this data via PowerShell and also via the admin console. The admin console piece is coming in about a week. So if you go check it today, you may not see it, but check back in about a week and you'll probably see this data. And you can see the PowerShell commandlet listed here on the screen. It's a get CS user session, and you pass it the SIP user identity. So here, Ken Meyer at contoso.com, and then you give it a date range. And you can see in the top corner, I don't know, right, left? Yeah, that side, the left. You can see that's a snippet of all the data that the PowerShell commandlet's returning. It's a this is just like, I don't know, 20 lines out of a several hundred data points that we collect for every single call. And it's kind of reported in an object model that you can interpret or parse if you really want to see what's happening with the call. The other tool, you can actually see this data as well in about a week in the Skype for Business admin console. You'll be able to go to the reports page. There'll be a page called Session Details, and you can enter the username and the date range. And instead of having to look through PowerShell and kind of figure out that object structure, you'll get it kind of in a nicer UI that kind of lists all that same data, but makes it easier to consume. You can export it to Excel. So those are the three tools that we have available or will have available for Office 365 and Skype for Business. So let's talk about on-prem. So I'll spend a minute or two talking about the on-premise offerings. Excuse me. Been talking to too many customers. My throat's a little dry today. So for Skype for Business Server 2015, there's kind of two major pieces of tools for quality monitoring. So we have a monitoring server, which consumes the CDR and QoE data and pushes it in a SQL database. This is data that's collected for every call, and it's available directly on the SQL database. You can access it, you know, set up your DB account. You can go in and query and access the data at the raw level. So it's a little bit like that PowerShell commandlet. All that raw data is there. And then we have the monitoring server reports. They cover things like usage, diagnostic information, call quality. So that's one tool that we offer, and that kind of comes with Skype for Business as part of the normal installation process, so you can configure and set up that server. The other tool is we have the Call Quality Dashboard 1.0. And I call it 1.0 because this is where the Call Quality Dashboard started. It started supporting our on-prem release, and now we're several generations ahead in our online offering. So when I do the demos for CQD for Office 365, there's going to be a lot of features and capabilities you'll see in there that you're not going to see in this kind of 1.0 earlier version. But it does provide kind of the same reports for audio usage, call quality. You can customize the reports. It has the building mapping data, so you can integrate it in with building mapping data and kind of get that same value of the locationality of your data. And it's built on SQL Server Analysis Service. And it's a separate download and available in the useful links at the end of the deck. So we talk about quality data. We talked about a bunch of the tools. Let's talk a little bit about the data that we collect for Skype for Business. So there's two main types of data feeds. If some of you are familiar with Skype for Business on-prem, these will be very familiar. There's the call detail records, or CDR. So our servers generate records from all the signaling traffic for the session, for the setting up of the session, the tearing down of a session, for IMs. All of that data, all that signaling level information, is all collected in a record that we call CDR. So it tells you who called who, how long the call lasted, did the call successfully establish, did it release, all of those kind of details are in the call detail record. Now the quality of experience is generated by all of our media processing endpoints. So any Skype for Business endpoint that generates media, so like IP phones, PC clients, mobile clients, our servers, our conferencing servers, our mediation servers, all of our process, anything that terminates audio or video or application sharing, generates these XML reports that contain detailed metrics about the media flow, about the network, about the device, about kind of how the software behaved. This data is sent at the end of every call. So we collect this data. We collect large amounts of data from every call. This data may also be sent during a call, depending upon the configuration of the system. On the side, you can see this is a sample of a QoE XML file. So this is one from a call I made yesterday. And you can see it contains IP addresses. It contains ports. It contains things like the jitter, the inter-arrival jitter, the maximum, the standard deviation, packet loss, packet counts. And this is just a small snippet of those XML files. So this is the kind of telemetry that we collect in Skype for Business that's available in these tools, be it on-prem or online. You have access to kind of this sort of data. So now let's go into a little bit of detail on the call quality dashboard. So what are the questions or what are the things that you can use the call quality dashboard to help you answer? So these are some of the ones that people have come and you know talked to me about, so I just put them on a slide. So questions like, which of my branch offices are having network issues? And how do those branch offices compare to my main site? To kind of gain those insights of, well, are my main sites are users in my main sites okay? And it's just these branch locations that are having network problems? Or is it kind of a bigger problem? Has the performance on Wi-Fi gotten better after I've made some infrastructure investment? We know lots of companies are investing in Wi-Fi, improving the Wi-Fi access for their users. So gaining insights into how was the Wi-Fi network performing before the change? How is it performing after the change? Gaining that insight so that you have the business justification to continue to push back. You have all that kind of data at your hands. How are users rating their call experiences? So the Skype for Business client at the end of a call will pop up a dialog that'll say, rate your call. I'd have to think about the exact phrasing on the UI says, but it basically asks you to do a star rating from like 1 to 5, with 1 being, this sucks, I don't want to use it anymore, and 5 being, this is the greatest thing ever. And you have access to that data in CQD, so you can see how users are rating that experience as well. You can see how many sessions are happening outside my corporate network versus how many sessions are happening inside your corporate network. Skype for Business is known for being this product where you can make calls, join experiences from anywhere in the world, and as part of an IT pro, you need to understand how your users are using that product. If everyone's accessing your Skype for Business from outside, do you need to invest so much on your corporate network? So it kind of gives you those insights. So the call quality dashboard has two views. It has a single page dashboard that provides kind of at a glance view of monthly and daily trends for call quality. It also contains detailed customizable reports with kind of an in-place live editing where you can go in and customize the reports and views to match whatever needs you have. It integrates the subnet to mapping building data that we talked about a little bit, and I'll talk about more on a couple of the upcoming slides. This morning I counted it has about 228 different dimensions, 93, 94 different measures about call quality and reliability for both audio, video, and application sharing. So it kind of covers all of those kind of real-time media scenarios and gives you the insights into what's happening. It includes the end user ratings of calls. Let's see what else. It's hosted in Azure. So we have a service deployed in Azure and it's region-based that matches your tenant homing. So if you're a tenant and you've created your accounts in EMEA, then we're gonna have a CQD instance serving you data out of EMEA. And this helps minimize the delay in pulling the data and speeds up the reports. The last thing I'll call out is it's currently only available for Skype for Business tenant admins. So if you've got network admins who don't have that credential account on their Office 365 account, they won't be able to directly access the Skype for Business call quality dashboard. This is something that we want to improve over time, but I just wanted to call out that limitation because that question comes up. How to get started. So to activate CQD, let's think. It's go to the Office 365 Admin Center. Then on the Admin Center, you go down, and there's a little icon that says Admin Center. And then you go to the Skype for Business Admin Center. And on that page, then under Tools, you'll find the Skype for Business Online Call Quality Dashboard. Wow, it's a mouthful. And then that'll jump you. Or you can skip all of that and just go to cqd.link.com. So your choice on how you want to navigate there. And the very first time you log in for your tenant, if you haven't done this before, it's going to ask you to log in with your global administrator account. And you'll get that little message you see at the bottom of the screen. And what this does is this basically activates the CQD instance for your tenant. And what that does is that kicks off a set of back-end processes that starts aggregating and collating all the data, builds the data cubes, gets the views ready. That sometimes takes 4 hours to 24 hours, depending upon the data. And there's a link to all the detailed instructions on that. So that is, if you go to CQD today, this is your activation experience. Hopefully, in a couple of days to a week, we're going to remove that activation step altogether. So you can follow those three steps or just go to cqd.link.com, and your tenant data will be there. You will see data for the past 6 months, assuming you have Skype for Business online data for the past 6 months, and it'll be available with no processing delay. So there'll be no bar for that. I want to look at it the very first time. Any of your data will be there. Now, the caveat is I get a lot of questions from customers who go to the dashboard for the first time trying to play with it, and they don't see anything. And usually it turns out that their tenant hasn't made any calls. So again, the call quality dashboard looks at your Office Skype for Business 365 call data. If you don't have any data, the dashboard's going to be very empty. So that's just something to be aware of. Now my favorite topic, or a topic I want you to one of the takeaways from today's session, is subnet to building mapping data. So a core concept in CQD is being able to segment the data of the calls happening inside your network versus happening outside your network. Why is this important? Well, I want to know as an admin, hey, is this call happening from Starbucks or is it happening, you know, next door on a campus that I manage, that I'm responsible or that my networking team is responsible for managing. It is a fundamental piece of data to make this management tool work. We've also found that grouping calls by buildings and sites that leverage common infrastructure really helps us narrow down common infrastructure issues, like a router that's serving these three buildings is common, all of the buildings in this region are having a problem. That instantly starts narrowing down where in the network an issue may be. And that's why it's so critical to the operation. So critical. Oops, wrong machine. It's so critical that I just want to call out one last time that without this data, Skype, the call quality dashboard is going to treat every one of your calls as external or happening off your network. And you'll see that in the we'll see that in the dashboards. And you won't be able to narrow down where that call is happening. And this is kind of one of those fundamental things that we want people to make sure that they do and upload. And I'll walk through kind of how that data gets uploaded and some more details about it now. So how's the data uploaded? The data is uploaded to CQD via UI. So there's a drop-down, and I'll show you where it goes in the UI here in a few minutes. And you upload it in the form of a tab-separated value or a TSV file or a comma-separated value file. So we kind of support both. That's new. CSV was, you know, progress for us because we only supported tabs for 6 months. And because networks are dynamic, you can have multiple different building mappings applying for different time ranges. You could start off, say your company starts off with you know, one set of subnets, and then you acquire, your network changes. You've acquired a new subsidiary that has new networks that you need to add. So each of the building mapping data has a date and time range for the data to apply to. You can also say this data applies from now until forever, and then when you get a new file, then you can go in and edit those ranges. Every time you upload a new mapping file, we have to process. We have to build that data cube. We have to go in and merge that building mapping data to all those subnets. I mean, that takes time. The amount of time, it depends on how big, how many subnets you have, how much call data you have, how big your data range is. But it can take a little bit of processing time. And I'll show you where you can check to see if that processing's been complete or if there's any issues. On the screen, you can see the full schema for that mapping data. So there's a few fields that you really have to fill out, which are the network range. You know, is it a 26 class supernet? And then the inside corporation flag is the other one. Because without that inside corporation flag is how we're gonna find that subnet. We're gonna look at this data and say it's inside or outside using that Boolean flag. The rest of these fields are basically strings. You're free to use or abuse these however you would like. They're all gonna show up as dimensions in the call quality dashboard. So if you're building names, you wanna go crazy, name them whatever you want, those are what's gonna show up as those dimensions in CQD. We do recommend things like building name and regions, and just think about how does these names represent relative to your network topology. So that if I see these clusters of names, it's gonna give you some insight into where in the network an issue may be happening. But we don't check. You could call your ownership type whatever you want, make up your own cities, that's all up to you. So before we jump to the demo, I wanna spend a couple of minutes talking about a couple of key concepts in CQD. Just because these are really important in understanding how does the tool work, and understanding kind of building reports. It's all kind of based on a couple of key concepts. So CQD is stream-based. So a stream represents kind of a unidirectional media flow. So if I'm on a conference call, there's a session between my client and the conferencing server. All right, so I have a stream of audio that I'm sending to the server, and there's a second stream coming back. So that's a representation of two streams. Now for media like video, you may have multiple video streams. I may be sending one video stream to the server and receiving six video streams back for that gallery view and another video stream back for a panorama. So you can have lots of different counts of streams to calls, not kind of a clean mapping. So that's why CQD is very stream-based. So if you're looking at audio, you can usually divide by two and get a call count. And we do have some call count metrics in there as well. But just to give you a clear understanding, so if you compare these numbers to other numbers you see in like the reports in the Link admin console, where they look at calls and we look at streams, you're gonna see slightly different numbers because of this problem. Now, CQD categorizes streams based off of the agents or the user agents involved in the call. So in Skype for Business, you really have three scenarios. You have clients talking to other clients. So a Skype for Business desktop client talking to a mobile client. A mobile client talking to an IP phone. Those are all kind of one session with two streams, if it's audio, talking between two clients. And then you have server to clients. So in Office 365, all of those servers are hosted in Office 365. So you have these connections between a desktop client and, say, the conferencing server. So those are what we call the server to client connections. And then you have server to server. These, typically, you won't see too many of these in your tenant data because this is data of our servers talking to each other to kind of enable an end-to-end scenario. So, sometimes it's where, I won't get into the details, but it's a lot of the back-end pieces. So we have these different streams, and one of the challenges that we have is we'll have a dimension like building. And building, like in a client-to-client, you have a building for the one client, a building for the other client. How do you normalize this data to kind of make it usable? So we kind of have this core principle of, we have lots of dimensions and measures that are labeled first and second. So first building, second building. In CQD, the servers are always gonna be using that first dimension if it's a server is involved in that flow. And that means that the second is always gonna be a client unless it's a server to server call. So that table up at the corner kind of gives you this kind of mapping. And the key thing to take away is that your second, in your data, we're gonna filter on the scenario. We're gonna look at like server and client calls, in which case we always know that second is always representing the client. So it kind of helps some of the confusion about, we don't care so much about who started the call. Was it a client to server? The client started the call and the server answered, or vice versa. But it's really just about a normalization scheme. And when I walk through the demo, we'll kind of go into that a little bit detail. If the clients, in client to client, if they're both the same, then the ordering will be consistent. But it's kind of hard to describe the details, but it's things like the desktop client will always be ahead of Mac client. So OC would always be, Okay, that's good. Whereas OC, Skype for Business will be always the first client, and Mac would be the second client. So there's an internal ordering scheme for consistency, but it's probably not something that you need to worry too much about. Now we'll talk a little bit about data cubes and the difference, because this causes some people some confusion. So CQD is based off of a data cube. We talked about the on-prem using SQL Analysis Server. Our online infrastructure still uses a data cube, and is built off of the concepts of dimensions, measures, and filters. So a dimension is a descriptive category about the data. It's about like the date, like when did the set stream happen. It's like the building information. It's about what type of client made that call. So it's all kind of metadata or descriptive data about something, about the measure. And the measure is the fact, or the, in CQD, it's about a number. It's like the count of the poor calls. It's the average poor call rate. It's the average rating of experiences. It's how many of something. So you have dimensions, and then you have filters, like kind of what data to include or exclude. So kind of the way to think about it is if you're thinking about it in words, you can say, show me the number of poor calls by building for the past month. So the number of poor calls is your measure. It's kind of what the number you want to see. The by is a giveaway word. It tells you that you're looking at a dimension. It's how do you want to slice or pivot on that data set. And then the filter is that for, you know, for the past month, with this. Those are all the kind of keywords that tell you this. So when you're thinking about the report, sometimes you're thinking about them in words, like I want to see, or your manager asks you, I want to see this. These are kind of giving you some ways to parse that sentence to kind of think about it in terms of how the data cube is constructed. And now, to my favorite part, the demo time. Let's see, switch over. Eight. Oh, that's exciting. I'll try that again. There we go. Okay, so who knows what the URL is to access it? CQD.link.com, all right. I can tell by your excitement. I'll just type it. So I'd signed in earlier. This is one of my test tenants with some data in it. And hopefully, if the demo network works well, it will populate the dashboard. I'm impatient. Let's try that again. My backup one more time. Well, everything works till you get on stage. Someone found that funny. Let's see. Oh, shoot. I gave up too fast. Well. Tough to show you the tool if it's not working. Hmm. That's good news. There have been important changes to the dashboard. That's exciting. Let's see. Come on. It's going to be a really slow demo at this pace. Try a different browser, he says. That's, you know, I'm willing to, I'll try anything once. Of course, if I have a network problem, I'm doing a horrible job of overloading it, but we'll see what we can do here. Try Internet Explorer. Yeah, I don't, it works really well in Chrome. I'm just telling you a fact. You can interpret it how you'd wish. Exactly. Yeah, it's a network. I can't get to it. All right, so let's hang on for a second. I have plans A, B, and C. Let me log in. Let me do this. Fail to load items. Very helpful. So that's what happens when there's a service being updated. Should have recorded it. Yes, that would have made a lot more sense. I agree. Didn't expect to have this problem. All right. So let's see. I've got... So this account is enabled for two-factor auth, so you will get to see me receive a text. It's very exciting. Three, two, seven, five, two. I'm going to keep that window. So I do apologize. Did rehearse repeatedly this morning. Let's see if any of these turn up. Still good news. There have been important changes. Yeah. Okay, well, I've got some, well, that's loading in the background. And I'll knock on wood. And actually, let me switch this for a second. Let me go ping my team real fast and just whine at them, or excuse me, suggest that they do something about it. Down in the middle of my demo. All right, well. So I'm going to be a little limited in what I can show you in CQD, if that doesn't load. Hopefully my team will work on it. We do monitor this 24/7, so they're probably already on looking at what's going on. So what I've got preloaded here is the detail view. So as I mentioned earlier, the call quality dashboard has summary views that provides you at a glance kind of views of call quality. And it also has this ability to have these kind of detailed views about that you can go in and customize. So in this particular tenant data here, so the, I guess one other concept about CQD is it has this concept of a tree structure. Every report can have sub-reports that you can drill deeper into and kind of create that tree. You can drill deeper down into that tree. So this particular view is showing you all the audio streams. Excellent. Everyone's trying to help. I appreciate working on a team where even people in the audience are emailing my team for help. So I appreciate that, Ali, if you're out there. Thank you. It is what it is. So I guess a couple of things I can highlight on this kind of view. So here you can see the bar charts are representing call counts. So every call is classified as good, unclassified, and poor. So good's kind of obvious, poor we can talk about, and what's this unclassified? So let's spend a couple of minutes talking about that. So this classification is based off of a set of six different dimensions of network quality. Packet loss, jitter, round trip delay. It's also a function of some internal metrics that we call concealed ratio and a MOS prediction algorithm. So those dimensions are used to classify if any of those conditions are above a threshold, the call is going to be marked as poor in this in-call quality dashboard for an audio. And there's another set of metrics for video, and there's another set of metrics for application. They're all very kind of network experience focused, and that's what's used to kind of classify. So that's what that lavender magenta color little bar represents. The unclassified, so this comes up. So the unclassified represents a call where we didn't see any of those metrics. None of those metrics were populated. So we weren't able to identify positively that it was a good call or a poor call. So that's the unclassified bucket. Generally, those should be very few. Here it's maybe a little bit larger because this tenant's got some test activity in it. But it's just an indication. And what we didn't want to do in call quality dashboard was hide things. So this is kind of a real view of the data that we collect. And then you've got the poor percentage. Now, let me check. Well, I was taking a look at it. So we'll see DevOps live and in progress. And from here, now let's think, how brave do I want to be? So this is the experience that if the portal was working, you would have a list of all of the different, some pieces of it are still alive. So remember earlier I talked about dimensions, measures, and filters. So the dimensions are kind of how you want to slice the data by. So here's that list of 200 odd different dimensions that we support. And you have the ability to do, you know, I want to search for building, and I see, you know, first building name, second building name. So this is kind of those dimensions that I talked about earlier. And if I wanted to build a report, I can click here, and it will add it to the dimensions. And then it's the measures. It's what is the number that I'm looking to compute. So we have things like the stream counts for total stream counts. So this is for all modalities. You have audio, application stream counts, video-based screen sharing, VBSS stream counts. You have counts for which streams are classified as poor. You can go in and take a look and see which dimensions. I talked about those metrics of packet loss, jitter, network degradation that could influence if a call is classified as poor. This particular measure here tells me how many of those were due to packet loss, like exceeding that packet threshold. So it allows you to narrow down, well, poor is a big bucket. You know, is it packet loss? Is it delay? What are the factors that are causing for the call to be poor? And you can go through and click and add those. Let's see, what are some other, so we've got all the video metrics. The user ratings. So the user ratings are basically what we call this feedback rating. So here, again, I talked about second. Second's always going to be a client. So this would be those clients what is their rating? How many users have actually submitted a rating? For Skype for Business does a sampling. It's about 10%-ish, depending upon your configuration, of users get prompted for that rating. And this tells you how many of those users actually rated their experience. And then if you wanted to see how many rated it poor, and we consider poor to be 1 star or 2 star. We want to be 3 stars, 4 stars, 5 stars. This gives you those counts, and then there's percentages around it that help you, you know, understand kind of if you wanted to see what your poor percentage, how many of your users were rating their experiences poor, you have that data. And then there's a host of other metrics. I'm not going to go through all of these. I am not just trying to fill time. Okay, so the repository DB is having some issues. He's looking at it. That's good. So I have hope. And then the filters. So again, these are pretty similar to the dimensions in terms of counts. And this allows you to slice and say, I only want to look at this building or data from this region. And you have access to that kind of data. Let's see. What else can I show you? You have the ability to clone reports. So I can take an existing report and make a copy of it and edit it. I can export this whole report tree and then import it. So this is these little three ellipses indicates where that export report tree indication is. And this is handy for if you've created some good reports and you want to share them with someone. This is one way you can do it. The other way you can share reports, I got to be brave and just click and see what happens. Yeah. There's a list of all the users in your tenant who've created reports, and you can navigate through the dashboard and take a look at their reports. So all the reports are publicly available within your tenant. They don't span across, so I can't look at your reports. Starting, it's got a hope. But so this would list all the different user accounts, and you could actually drill in and actually view their reports. You can't edit them, but if you saw something you liked, you could export it. Let's see, any of these people in the room? None of these people are in the room, but let's see. But it's getting hope. It's progress. And you can share from that perspective. Then you can obviously delete, and you can download the results. So you can download, it'll generate it in kind of an Excel file that you can actually import and take a look at. So I am hopeful. Because if that repository linked open. Too much hopeful. All right. I'll jump back. This is why I cast a few things. Because I don't think any of these are going to work. I'll try to drill down. Here's a report I generated looking at reliability data. So I talked about quality. I talked about poor counts. There's additional data in... Okay. All right. So we'll stop that for a second. Start over. Close everything. cqd.link.com, just in case you forgot. Oh, I shouldn't have closed that browser. I'm going to regret that. Excellent. We got progress. Excellent. Okay. So, apologize for that. Let's think. We got 30 minutes left. Okay. We'll plow through some stuff. So this is the summary report view. So just as a reminder, my team, Gage, was already on top of this issue looking at it. So my team does monitor the service to make sure that it's always up and available, and we'll do a retrospective to figure out why it happened to go out in my demo, which I told them about for weeks. yes, it'll be a fun retrospective. All right, so this is the summary page. So this is the first page you go to when you go to the call quality dashboard, and it shows you, it has four tabs to it. It's got the monthly audio stream trends that you can see on the left, and then you've got this daily trend, and you can see this particular tenant has got this pattern of 5 days of activity, and then over the weekend a little bit of activity, and then 5 days. So you kind of see that sawtooth pattern that we see in a lot of our data. So it shows the audio stream monthly data. Then you can actually see it. We've sliced it down into two buckets on this kind of main page. First, it's the server to client trends. So we talked about server to client. So in Office 365, these represent your streams going to our cloud. So these are important for monitoring things like your internet connection, your connection or your connectivity to our cloud. This is the bucket to look at. And then you have client to client monthly, client to client trends. And you can see this particular tenant has about like 4 million streams, a little over 4 million server to conference streams. So these would be conferences and those kind. And then you've got about, 750K of the client to client. So that's good, but let's say I want to take a look a little deeper at that data. So then there's a specific tab for server to client. And I should probably preload a couple of these. So now taking that server to client data, and I've sliced it into four buckets, wired versus Wi-Fi, inside versus outside. So that when I open one of these, we can take a look at the details. But this is kind of the next major pivot. And the kind of core concept for looking at quality is we always start trying to get that wired inside performance right, because that's the foundation. That should just work. That's network under your control, under your network team's control. And it's wired. It doesn't have all of the uncertainties or challenges about doing Wi-Fi. So that's always the starting point. And then once that's good, then, hey, let's take a look at the Wi-Fi inside. Those are Wi-Fi networks I control, or your networking team's controls. And then you have the wired outside and Wi-Fi outside that gives you a view into kind of how your users at home or at Starbucks, not Starbucks, contosocoffee.com. Sorry, I think that, edit that out later. But if you wanted to take a look at their experience there. So this is a tenant. This is some of the data for these. And you can see, what you first see is the kind of the monthly trend, again, for the wired inside and the daily trend. And then you see the data. You see two tables underneath it. The first is the data grouped by subnets. So these are the subnets that the clients are reporting. So this 10.121.88.0. We do use dashes instead of dots. That's a rendering framework thing that I want to get fixed someday. And then over here, you can see these spark charts. And these spark charts are showing you the month-over-month trend for the good metric, for the good stream count, the unclassified, and the poor stream counts, as well as the poor percentage kind of in the spark line. And you can see this both for the inside subnets, but the other thing, building mapping. Building mapping allows you then to take those groups of subnets and assign them to a building. So these are, don't trust any of these names or subnets because it's been kind of adjusted for the presentation. But then again, what it does is it allows me to say, okay, what's the experience or in City Center or Building 41 or any of these different sites? And I can go and take a look at a glance, I can see, hey, the volume's been flat. You know, my good counts are flat. My unclassified calls are relatively flat. But there's a little spike up here in the poor counts. And this poor percentage is going up. And astute observers would have noticed this chart should look a little troublesome. We were floating kind of here in the 1%, sub 1% range for poor call percentages. In the last couple of months, it's really spiked up. So file that away. We'll come back to that here in a minute. And then you have similar views for clients, for client-to-client calls. You have extra dimension. You have extra dimensions in this because you have both clients could be wired and inside and outside. So you have some permutations here to look at. Again, Skype server-to-client is usually the first place that people should look, but you've got all of this data. The last tab I'll show is the voice quality SLA. Office 365 Skype for Business has a voice quality SLA. This captures the calls that are in scope for that SLA and shows you their performance. Before I jump back, 27, good. Before I jump back, I'll show you where to upload building data. Oh, wait, I should tell my team it's working. I left them on the hook long enough. Come on, tenant upload data. So this is the tab. It's under this little gear icon where you select. Right now, we only support building data. We may support other types of aggregation data going forward. And this is the interface where you select your file. You know, I can select the file of CSV, set what date range I want to start. I can set an end date optionally. And I can also go and take a look at my existing building files that I've uploaded. I can remove one if I like that map. That mapping was horrible. I don't believe in it. I need a new one. I can delete it. And the other thing you can do is download the one that's already being used and then edit it. So it makes it real easy. Like if I add some new subnets, I can just take what's being there and just update it and apply it back. So it kind of speeds that up a little bit. The one other button I'll call out is the Skype feedback. So this jumps to skypefeedback.com. This is where I, as a product owner on the call quality dashboard, go to get insights into people's feedback about the tool. We have lots of channels for communication, but please be aware of that. So let's just jump back. So I think this demo is a little more interesting. So I'm going to show you live, we're going to kind of troubleshoot or investigate this problem, where you see the spike of poor call percentages over the past couple of months. So let's take a quick look through the summary reports and see what we can see. So from here, let's see, the subnets, you know, there's so many subnets. There's like almost 2,000 subnets. You know, some of them are showing this kind of really bad spike in the past couple of months and trends are going up. But then you have subnets where it doesn't really seem to happen. So this view's giving me a little bit of insight, but it's not really telling me a lot. Now, I'll go down to the building map. Again, this is why building map's so important. We can take a look, and I start scrolling through the buildings. And so, like the city center, I see this kind of increase in the past couple of months, and I see the rape up. Building 41, I see these numbers. These will all sound like Microsoft buildings because that's the cheat I used. to mock up the data, the tenants' data. And you see, you know, this increase of certain buildings over time spiking up. But it's not all buildings, right? Some of these buildings, if we scroll through, it's a lot of buildings. A lot of these buildings strike me as being in the U.S., but, you know, I'm not really sure. And, like, San Antonio's really flat. But it started a little bit early. So you get a lot of data here, but it's kind of hard to visualize kind of a bigger picture from this. You know, ideally, I'd love to see, like, one building and all the spikes here and everyone else is flat. And then I'd be, aha, the problem is in this building. I've narrowed it down at least to that set of subnets. But this problem looks a little bigger. Now what do I do, right? I can't, you know, it's kind of hard. I can't see a lot in this little. So now this is the role for going into the detailed reports. Oh, come on. Gotta work. Come on. And it's usually not this slow, but it takes it a second to pull in the data. Because of that outage in the repository, it's having to recache everything on the back end, so it's taking it a second to kind of build these base reports. And we've got a couple more minutes. Come on. So I showed you the detailed reports earlier, but I was actually going to show you kind of how you would start building those reports kind of based off of that input from that summary view and showing you building out the reports for slicing the data by building, by region, and really narrowing down to this particular problem space. So let's see. I can't blame you. Exactly. Let's provide feedback. Please work during demo would be great. So let's think. What else can I talk about? At least I still have. Oh, here it's up. Yay. Okay. So this is what it looked like. This is the kind of audio streams report that kind of comes. The other pages on the right are ones that I've created ahead of time. And in this. Ooh. Better be fast, because this kind of building a report demo doesn't work real well if it's slow. Let's just try it. Yeah, I don't know what to say, gentlemen and ladies. This is not the server performance that we like to see. Too many tabs. Almost there. So like I said, the system does have to build some data up because it had to recache this, but these reports shouldn't take this long. I'm not sure what to tell you. Did not pray to the demo gods enough, apparently. Anything I drill? Manage, come on. All right, well, let me show you, can I show you anything? All right, I think I'm gonna just bail at this point. I don't know that this is actually going anywhere. All right, well, that concludes the very successful demo portion of today's session. Thank you. I take pity applause. But see, it keeps coming back and giving me hope. So let's spend a minute. Anyone who's willing to stick it out, I'll show some cool stuff. So now I've traversed down that tree. Remember that report we saw on the summary dashboard? I now see that same view in CQD of showing the server to client inside wired network performance. You see this spike up happening in these last couple of days. Come on. Work. See those reports in the last couple of days. And what I can do is I'm going to go ahead and take a look at. And what I can see here, comparing the server to client versus client inside wired calls, I really can tell that this spike is only happening on these calls happening connecting to our cloud, or only happening in the server to client inside wired calls. So from now, if I want to drill in deeper, I now have to start building custom reports. So I can click here and add a subreport. In the background, I'm going to load the pre-built ones just in case that takes too long. So I've added the subreport. So the very first thing is when you add a subreport, it copies that existing report. So it kind of gives you that context. You also have this breadcrumb that shows you kind of where you're at in that tree. So if I wanted to take a look at this report, and then now let's say I want to take a look at, you know, those buildings were interesting, right? So I'm going to now add a dimension. If I could type, second building name. And let's, instead of looking at it as a chart, let's switch it over to a table. So now I've got a table view representing those, you know, all of that data. So I can see the data for each month, but it's kind of a lot to consume. So I can now click, set it to Sparklines, and it's going to take each of those measures and compute, kind of do that Sparkline analysis on it, if it's fast enough. Okay. So now I've basically kind of recreated that view that was in that summary report. Now I can now go in and say, okay, well, I remember when I looked at those reports, those all looked like U.S. buildings. So I could add a filter for country, second country. And it'll list me all the different countries that this data set has been tagged with. So I can scroll down or I can use the search and tag. So now I've added a U.S. filter. So now I'm just looking at the U.S. buildings. And I'm going to just jump ahead. In the interest of time. So do you remember those dimensions I talked about that identified why a call was classified as poor? We talked about jitter, we talked about packet loss, degradation, round trip, and concealed ratio. So these are the audio, these are all the ones that classify a call as bad for audio. Just ignore, everything will work. And now what it's going to do is take a look at all the buildings in the U.S. and then provide a breakdown of that. It will provide a breakdown of all those different poor call reasons, and from that you can identify that it's all the sites in the U.S. are having issues with packet loss only in their connections to Office 365. And if my demo had gone more smoothly, this is what you would see. But I'm going to stop here. But see, there, it's so close. It's so, every time I say I'm going to stop, it comes back and kind of looks like it works. But see, now I'm showing all these different dimensions about why a call is being classified as poor. And if I sort these by poor stream counts, it instantly jumped out at us that, hey, these buildings that are having problems, it's this. It's this packet loss that's causing the problems. You can see the poor counts of this pink, these fuchsia, I guess, color, all have this increase, and they all correlate to this kind of spike in poor packet loss. So now I've narrowed it down to it's a problem for all the sites in the U.S. It's a packet loss problem. Now I can engage with my networking team. I can build views in here that show the trends over time, over dates, to see when did the problem start, when did it happen. It makes the data more actionable for kind of driving those discussions. So that is what I would have loved to have shown you if everything had gone my way. And I can show you one final report if this cache loads up. Yeah, okay. So a quick show, two reports, and then I'll switch over to Q&A for anyone who's decided to stick with us. So this middle report that I didn't put a title on shows you the reliability data. So not only do we have quality data in there, you have data for call setups. So our call, you know, if users are complaining about calls not getting established, that's kind of a call setup related failure. And then there's a bucket called media failure or mid-call failures, which are calls that the media drops during the session. You can then slice that by network type, slice that by scenario, and gain insights into that. So lastly, at the end, so this is the kind of the view that I sent to the customer related to this problem. where we basically, after all of that investigations, this is the kind of chart or view that I use to show the customer that, hey, this is your problem. This is the city center building. Here's your poor call percentage. Your volume was relatively constant, and basically back in July, there was a change made. And then that started to trigger the investigation to help narrow it down. And it was this narrowing down of, hey, it's not in your client-to-client, it's not in your core network, it's that connection to our cloud is where the problem is. And with that successful demo, we shall cut over. We've got a few minutes for question and answer. Does anyone have any questions? Absolutely. Yes. So right now, there's no direct integration. You have to export it and get it into that form with the question was, is there any integration with AD sites and services? Yes, there's no current integration. Who in the room is using AD? You're using it. Who else is using that sites and services? Is that something you guys would like to see? Is it a strong ask? Where does it fit? Okay. What about the LIS data in the Office? We're not putting it there for the online stuff yet, so it doesn't exist. On-prem, you can leverage that same data. You can leverage the LIS data. It's part of that SQL integration because it's a SQL. You can point the analysis cube at it. You can extract that data. But I'll take a look at that. I'll take a look at the another question.
So that's for our network team, the Cloud guys, already centralizing.
Okay. That's great. No, it is a classic problem. As you can tell, one of my three takeaways from the meeting was how important that data is. And if that's where many folks are putting that data, I want to find a way to make that path as easy as possible. So it's you saw how it was used in the data. It's mapped to buildings. So, you prioritize where your users are as your most important, as the ones you would get in first, or the ones where you're having problems. If you got users complaining in Kuala Lumpur, hey, let's put those subnets in first and then build it out. I know it's a manual process. It can be hard. It can be intensive. But I would prioritize either based off of need or based off of volume, depending on your scenarios.
And one more.
Yeah.
IP address overlap?
No. It has to be specific. So the question is do they does it support if the same subnet overlaps buildings? That's not currently supported. We'll talk to you a little bit about that scenario. But that's not something that we currently support. We expect a one-to-one map, a subnet to be in one building. And the processor will probably throw an error to you if it sees that overlap. It does support supernets. It does support supernets. There may be some changes, some details around that change. So there's the site that the help points to that gives you all the specific information about supernet support. And any changes always get published. Yes, question? How do we support privacy? Okay, so we support privacy in a couple of ways. First, this data is only accessible by the Skype for Business tenant admin. So that's one. So it's not everyone. It's limited role. The other thing is this particular data set has no PII or personally identifiable information in it. I can't use CQD to look up an individual user's call. There's no interface to that. All of those other tools that I showed you about being able to look up individual user's calls, again, that there's policy in place. Roles and access control on who has access to that data. Next, another question. So, we stay up to date. So the question was around access to the PII information, and you can drill down and potentially see, and then in various countries you have different regulations about who has access to what. So we're continually working and understanding all the different regulatory environments and getting our solutions to align and match to meet those needs. I don't know the specifics in your particular geo to know those concerns, but like I said, this particular data, this is worldwide available in Europe. It's passed through our kind of all the reviews so far in that area. But in your specific case, I'd have to look at details and see if there's some features we need to add to help address any regional concerns in that area. So there's a question around data masking. So because there's no PII information, I can't really assign it to a user. Now there's nothing that stops you and say, okay, this This subnet is Bill Gates' subnet, right? And he's the only one who ever uses it. So then you kind of imply that relationship, and I put in the building mapping and call it Bill Gates' subnet. So there are, you can kind of play with that if that's something, but generally we don't see customers doing that because it's a game you can play, but it's not a, it's not really a kind of, you know, if you've got that level of access, there's a lot of stuff you can access already. So CQD is not opening up anything new for you. Question in the back, I'll continue here next. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, you. Is the building mapping data available on premise? Yes, it is. You don't upload it via UI. If you download the CQD for the on-premise instance, there's instructions on how to basically add a table into the SQL database and how to structure that data. We've had various companies integrate pushing data into that, so it's available for the on-prem as well. It served value. That's why we created that kind of concept in the beginning. So it's there. You'd have to look through those download documentations on the specifics on how to do that integration. Yes, sir. Excellent question. So the question was, is there any update on when the next version of the on-prem is going to be released? Now, I don't have any updates I can share. We are going heavily to a services model. I talked about the CQD Azure being 3 or 4 generations ahead of what's on-prem. We can match a much faster pace of innovation online. So there's going to be a lot of innovation there. There may be some things that help on-premise customers and leverage that, but unfortunately, I can't announce anything about that, about the on-prem version, unfortunately. Any other questions? I wish I'd give, oh, excellent, yes. Yeah, so the question is there a way of importing the on-prem data to the online? Not currently. It is, I understand the scenario, we understand the need, but it's not something that's currently available. It is something that we understand the need for, and trying to provide a consistent set of tools that work across the environments is obviously a goal that we're working towards. But there's nothing specific I can announce. Next question, yes, sir. Yeah. You could take an on-premise list database and export it and structure it into the right form for the CQD. You can technically do that. There's nothing that I provide out of the box that makes that happen. The core of the content's the same. It's just I don't know the field names, the mappings. I don't know exactly how much work that is. There's nothing I provide or Microsoft provides that makes that easy for you. Is that right? Does it make sense? Okay. Yeah. I don't think it's that hard, but I'm not super familiar with the list specifics. Is there a question in the back? Yeah, you mean so the question was around the thing I showed earlier that looked like a product from Event Zero. Yeah, so go ahead and continue here. Okay, so the question is around your on-premise deployment. You're using a tool from a company called Event Zero. How does their on-premise tool relate to Call Quality Dashboard on-premise? Is there an overlap? Is there a value there? You know, they're serving kind of there's some different needs. The Call Quality Dashboard, again, is really focused at kind of like a tier 3 expert view. The Event Zero product has some views like that, but CQD has kind of a different methodology and approach of slicing these scenarios by client to server. So we have a lot of customers who have great success kind of with this methodology and approach. So that's what I can talk about. In terms of overlap, you know, CQD and our tools, you know, don't give you that kind of being able to look at an individual user call yet. You can see it's coming in the online space. On-prem, you're kind of limited at the moment. We don't really have a corresponding part for that. You can access it through the monitoring server, but there are some performance challenges there, so it's not a great experience. So they're pretty complementary in on-prem. But CQD, we feel, has some value for on-prem beyond what some of our partners have provided. But it's kind of a business choice that you need to make about which one meets your needs or scenarios better. Yes, question in the front and then the one in the back. No, there's no additional license for the on-prem. It does have dependencies on SQL Analysis Server, so there's all the kind of infrastructure licenses. So feedback, for everyone who's leaving, you guys who've stuck around, please give some feedback and, you know, help balance out the feedback from the folks who left early. Thank you. So there's a question in the back. Right. That's excellent question. So I definitely defer the question about a next on-prem update for CQD. Can I confirm if there's any ongoing active development to actually make that happen? So our core engineering resources are continuing to expand this online offering for Office 365 and continue to expand that to make it easier to find the insights in the tool and play a little less having to play, say, where's Waldo, I can't say that one. Basically to hunt and find where the data is and try to make those insights easier to find, and then we'll talk about how we integrate that for an on-premise. So that's what I can say. Just to pile on, yes. Feel free to pile on. Yeah. Yes. Okay. So the. Right. Okay. Okay, so there's frustration about wanting, you know, every session has a lot of information about online, but not so much happening about what's happening on-prem and any active development. So that's good feedback. I will take that away and pass that along. In the remaining 3 minutes, because you guys have stuck it out, you get to see my wrap up and extra slides. Oh, one last question. So you're on Link 2013, and your question is, hey, should I start a minimal deployment there and move to the cloud? How does that relate? It's a much broader conversation than I can have in the remaining couple of minutes. If you stop by the Skype for Business booth on the expo floor, they can. Pretty much any time. I would stay away from like 5 p.m. because things start getting light then, but I'm just telling you how it is. They should have some people there who can help with that specific question. The CQD works for Link 2013 as well. Doesn't just work on Skype for Business. We talked about the key points. I'm not going to repeat them. Useful links. Let's see, what else is in here? Meeting accomplished. So in the expo, there's a Skype room systems on display. If you take a picture of it, you post it to Twitter, you put hashtag meeting accomplished, you get entered in a drawing to win one of these great devices that have come out. There's a slide on the Skype for Business community. This is where the forums, this is where we publish tips and tricks. This is where we'll be publishing a lot of information about using Call Quality Dashboard and kind of help fill in some of the gaps from today's demo. A couple of other sessions you may be interested around Skype for Business. There's a session tomorrow about deploying and operating Skype for Business. This is one maybe for the gentleman who left about the thinking about the upgrade in the cloud. There's a session on ExpressRoute that also includes some data around network assessments that's of interest. It's another area that I contribute into. And then how to troubleshoot media flows across online, server, and hybrid. So my friend Thomas is giving a session on that. Fast Track. Probably have heard this before. Community's already been covered. And then for my dedicated followers here who've stuck it out, please give some evaluation feedback. And I truly am sorry for the demo snafus. Not much I could have done about that. So I do apologize. If you are interested, I'll be in the booth. I'm in the booth, I think, 2 to 4 today. And pretty much on all throughout the conference. And if you wanted to see, you know, some of the dashboards and walk through it, I'll be there. I'll be happy to show it to you, as well as show you some of the other tools that we've got that I wasn't able to demo today. And with that, thank you.